Thank you, Phil. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another week of our Advent series, which is a journey to Christmas. And we're talking about the gift of love. But over the past 2 weeks, we've explored a couple of different themes of hope and of joy, and what we can find and how we can find those in the Christmas story and how that impacts our lives. But like I said, today we get to look into one of the potentially most significant themes of Christmas. It's perhaps one way to say it is that it's the very reason for the season. Obviously, we say that Lord Jesus is the reason for the season, but as we look at it at a higher level, the whole reason that Jesus came down to us is because of love. And love, unfortunately, is something that I feel like we often get confused with, especially in perhaps a more modern, free-flowing society. So for some reason, I was thinking of a spelling bee scenario in my head, where that little kid often asks, "Oh, can you give me the definition? Can you give me the context?" And so we'll do that today for love. So we look at the Oxford Dictionary definition of love, which is a very strong feeling of liking and caring for somebody or something, especially a member of your family or a friend. And I found that interesting. It's a strong feeling. That idea of a feeling for love. But I wanted a little bit more, and as I looked down at the Oxford Dictionary, it had those sentences that gives more context or more meaning. And I found one that was, to me, quite interesting. And it read, "I'm sure you will find true love," is the sentence. And so I thought that idea interesting, that we're to find true love. And my brain goes, well, what does that mean? And it means that there must be a fake love. And so as a society, as a group of people, we know that there is a love out there that isn't quite right. And we're wanting to search for this true love. And I think that's very true of me, particularly as a teenager. As some of you know, I grew up in a broken home, or a home where my parents had split up, and me and my siblings would be passed around home to home, and sometimes in quite a hostile environment. So as I grew up into a teenager, I hated that idea. I hated the idea of a broken home. And so I really wanted to find true love, so that if I ever had the opportunity to have kids, which I did, which is great, they wouldn't have to experience the same things that I did as a kid and a teenager. And even realistically, more selfishly for myself, hopefully that I didn't have to experience that type of relationship. It didn't seem very fun. And thankfully, I do get to experience that today. But I was searching, particularly as a young teenager and a young adult, for this idea of true love. And instead, what I found is I learned a lot about what love isn't. I found out different ways that you might think you're in love with someone, and realistically you might not be so much in love with someone, but in love with an idea of someone or something like that. I found out really that love can be complicated, and it can be messy and hard. So that is what I found out as a teenager and young adult. But as I kept on searching and I kept on realizing more and more about what love is, I found out that love is the very nature of God, and that is true love. So I don't know about you, whether you quite searched so much for love as a teenager or in that sort of way, or a young adult, but I think we're all searching for love, and we're all searching for that true love in one way or another, or a way to express our love more truly to people. And so if that sounds anything like you, I think the Christmas story has something important to tell us about love and what we're to do with love. So let's discover more about the Christmas story and then what that tells us about love. Like I said, God is the essence of love. You see, Scripture paints a profound picture of God, depicting him as the very embodiment of love. In the very first letter that John writes, so 1 John, it has a succinct declaration, and it's as simple as this. It says God is love, and says it in chapter 4 there. And we encounter not a fleeting emotion or a vague feeling, but a fundamental aspect of God's character. So much so that John, even just before this, says, if you do not know love, you do not know God. God is love. And if we don't know love, we can't know him. John even then goes on to describe something quite interesting to the Christmas story of how God showed his love to us. And it says in the next verse, in verse 9 of chapter 4 of 1 John, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." The whole story of Christmas is God's acts and demonstration of love to us. And so the Christmas story unfolds as a part of this grand act of divine love towards a broken people, towards us. And that's what we hear proclaimed again and resounded in John 3:16, which we just read. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And I think even in that one verse that we often hear time and time again, we can draw out some interesting ideas about love and what it's to be. And here we see that love is not passive, but it's dynamic. It motivates action. "For God so loved the world that..." There's love, and then there's something else that springs forth from it. Love, true love, or God's love, is dynamic. It's full of action. We also see that love is giving. "For God so loved the world that he gave something." And what did he give? He gave of himself. It's a sacrificial type of giving, which is what we see here on this slide. So true love is dynamic and it's sacrificial. "He gave his one and only, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So true love is life-changing. It impacts others as well. It does something huge for us, and it also does something that is lasting. So this true love that we witness in the giving of the gift of Christ, we also see something else. That true love, or Christ's love, the gift of love that we see at Christmas, is not contingent upon our merit or our perfection. Rather, it is an outpouring of God's grace in the form of Lord Jesus Christ. On to our undeserving hearts. Romans 5:8 says this and encapsulates it so well. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us." He loved us. He motivated action and did it without us needing to respond first. So in the midst of our brokenness and imperfection, God's gift of true love manifests itself in the birth of Jesus Christ. And it becomes the ultimate demonstration of compassion and redemption that we could ever see. The Christmas story with the manger as its humble stage becomes the drama, is where the drama of love unfolds. It tells us to marvel at a love that surpasses our understanding and draws us into a divine embrace. And so what can we see from this act of love, this ultimate act of love in the incarnation of Christ? The first thing we see in this grand narrative of redemption is that the love of God is not an abstract concept, it's not that vague feeling, it's a choice. We often say that love is a feeling that we feel, it's an emotion. Love is a choice. True love is a choice anyway. And so that choice becomes a tangible, real person in the form of Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, captures it in John 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." There was a choice there. The creator of the whole universe, in an awe-inspiring act of love, chose to enter the human experience, wrapped in the vulnerability of infancy. As I was, as we were worshipping earlier, I was holding Lee, my son, and he decided to fart on me, which was not ideal. But can you imagine the God of the universe, who has all majesty or all glory, deciding to go through something like that? To become a small human who, you know, farts on people sometimes, to go through some really humiliating things as a child, but then also into adulthood. God's vulnerability, or choice to become vulnerable, is just amazing in this story. And so Jesus embodies God's love, the Son given to a world in need of redemption. And this act of divine generosity speaks to the depth of God's love, reaching out to humanity in its brokenness and offering the promise of eternal life, knowing that this choice isn't going to be easy. The beautiful thing that we have today that perhaps they didn't have is we know how the story continues. We know what happened at Easter. We know that the road for Jesus wasn't easy at most any part of his story. Even when he was doing ministry, he was often in his own town of Nazareth. People tried to kill him. It wasn't an easy road. But we find that this sacrificial love chose to do that. God knew this was going to happen and yet still decided on it. The love revealed in Jesus is not distant or indifferent. It's personal and intimate. It asks us to contemplate the immeasurable worth of every person, every soul in the eyes of God, of a God who chose to become man to save us. And so it's a love that transforms. The narrative of Christmas isn't merely a historical account. It's a profound story of transformative love. Again in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us." It's not that we become perfect first, but it's as we are loved, we become more like Christ. The Christmas story is the center of God's redemptive plan. It's the beginning where love takes on flesh and dwells among the broken people and offers the gift of transformation. And the transformative love of Christ is vivid in the story of the Gospels. We can see it in his interactions, which we'll actually get to hear some of his interactions next year. But we can see it in his interactions with individuals throughout these Gospels. The leper finds healing, the outcast experiences acceptance, and the sinner encounters forgiveness. So all manifestations of a love that goes beyond the surface appearances and touches the core of what we need as humans, which is acceptance and love and transformation. So as we look upon the manger that we have here today and that reminds us of this story, I think it's perfect that we have a sign of love in front of it, because it is truly where the journey of love begins for us. And this transformative love is not limited to historical events. It's not something that we go, "Wow, that's amazing, let it transform me." But it's a living reality today. It is something that works within me every day. The only time that I love people well is when I am in awe of the love that God showed me first. In my parenting, in my marriage, whatever it might be, the only time I do it truly well is when I let God's love transform me first. And so I hope that today we open our hearts to Christ, to his work within us, bringing about that transformation, that change. In 2 Corinthians, it says something truly amazing. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." The Christmas story invites us to experience this ongoing transformation, a journey from darkness to light, from brokenness to wholeness. And it also invites us to have a response to. So the radiant love we encounter in the Christmas story is not meant to be a passive observance, something that we just talk about and hear about and maybe watch nice movies about. But it's supposed to be a catalyst for a transformative response. 1 John 4 again tells us the truth here. It says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." The story of Christ's birth is a divine invitation to participate in the ongoing narrative of love, the ongoing story of redemption. It's an invitation to extend the grace we've received to those around us. Our response to God's love is not confined to a nice sentiment, but it is a call to action, a call to mirror the love that was first shown to us. the manger becomes a symbol not just of divine affection, but of a mission to love as we have been loved. This mission extends beyond our immediate circles, but it does include them, but it embraces the stranger, the marginalized and the overlooked. Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, demonstrated a radical and an inclusive love. His interactions with the Samaritan woman, the tax collector, and the sick underscored this love of acceptance and of transcending those social boundaries. So as I hope as we meditate on the Christmas story, we are compelled to ask ourselves at least this one question. How are we expressing God's love, or how are we actively expressing God's love to those around us? James 2:15-16 challenges us, saying, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Our response to God's love should be something tangible. It is found in acts of kindness, compassion and generosity. So this Christmas, let us resolve to be ambassadors of God's love in a world that thirsts for true love, for its redemptive power. Whether through a kind word, a helping hand, or a listening ear, our actions can echo the transformative love that we celebrate in the picture of Jesus. As we emulate the love revealed in the manger, may our lives become a testimony, a story to the profound impact of love that knows no bounds. And finally, there's this moment where often people will ask you to do something because to just do something really. And we go, oh, but I don't really want to. And where that comes from is an insecurity. Often it's, say I ask you to stand on stage and sing. I would probably want to say no to that. But that's because I'm insecure about my singing. I feel worried about it. And I'm sure I'm probably saving you from not singing. But why we don't need to be insecure when expressing God's love is because it is a lasting love. It's an everlasting love. And Jeremiah 31:3 says it quite well. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. So the manger, though, nestled in Bethlehem, unveils a love that spans eternity, that it includes your lifetime, a love that was and is and will forever be. So in the face of life's uncertainties and the ebb and flow of human relationships, the everlasting love of God remains steadfast. Romans 8:38-39 assures us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The love is certain, and it's the foundation for how we spring out of that to transform the lives of other people. So the story of Christmas becomes a symbol of hope, an emblem of an everlasting love that conquered the darkness. So as we navigate the complexity of life, I ask that we anchor ourselves in this truth, that God's love is unchanging and unwavering and is totally for you. The Christmas story invites us to surrender our fears and our uncertainties and insecurities to a God whose love knows no boundaries. So here's my application for this. It's to discover and to deliver love this Christmas. And firstly, like I said, you need to know that you are loved by a true love. A love that is dynamic, that is sacrificial, that is life-changing, and that is lasting. So this is what I want you to do this week. It's called the Daily Examine, or Ignatius Daily Examine. And it's fairly simple, although there is 5 steps to it. It's pretty simple. The first is to become aware of God's presence. So just stop for a moment and focus on God and where he is right now to you. Focus on his presence. because it's there and waiting for you. The second is to review the day with gratitude. Purposely find things to say thank you, God, for, and be specific about it. Thank you, God, that breakfast was nice. It can be something simple or it can be something huge. Thank you that my family really supported me today. And then pay attention to your emotions, because although feelings can be untrue, they're something that does affect you. Choose one feature of the day and pray for it. So it might be that at that day you had a Christmas party, and pray about it. Pray that, you know, your interactions meant something to someone, or pray for someone who mentioned that they were going through something, whatever it might be. And then look forward to tomorrow and pray about that too. So maybe tomorrow is the start of the last day of work, last week of work. Pray about it. It might be a stressful time. They're all very simple steps in and of themselves, but they're a powerful thing to do. And they can really help remind you that God's love is for you, it is active, and it wants to do something for you today, tomorrow, and has done something for you already. So that's it. It's try and do that every day this week. It will take, honestly, 5 minutes, if that. So as always, as we reflect on that, we're going to stand, and if you can, and listen to another song. I would like you to try and respond to this song out of that place of love and knowledge of that love.